I'm in.
V, what up, dude?
What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? So thanks for joining us today here on Purgatory Rebel Reaper podcast. For those who are not aware, I got Lee on the phone, and this dude is killing it in the apparel game, something we really look up to. Really glad to have him on here. His clothing company is 38 Ride Co. Definitely go check him out. Anyway, Lee, so what's up, dude? What are you up to?
Not a whole lot. I'm watching some documentary on F1 racing right now, or I was until I started this whole thing. Taking a break.
Dude, I love documentaries, man. You learn so much through all those kind of things. I learned about a lot about history documentaries, though. But F1 racing sounds like fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm a gearhead as far as it gets. Like, I'm a mechanic, too. And just, like, out of the whole engineering and technical aspect of stuff like F1 cars and supercars and all that stuff, it just, I don't know, I just, my brain just locks onto it. And I'm in, like, you know, all work is just pushed aside. And I'm locked into that thing until it's done.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So everyone who's listening right now, appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to this today. I'm super excited. You know, as you guys are aware, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get more exposure to other brands that we feel deserve it. Definitely this guy deserves it for sure. You got to check out his Instagram if you want, Lee. If you don't mind just giving him a quick brief view of your website, your Instagram page, whatever else you want to plug in, YouTube maybe, you know, all that.
Yeah, you can check us out at 38 Ride Co, all spelled out, no numbers, on Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. I've got my personal YouTube channel, which is just search Lee Stewart 38 or Lee Stewart. Type any of those in there, I'll pop up. Anything you type in Harley Wheelies, I think I'm the first one that pops up. And then, yeah, of course, 38rideco.com. That's where you can pick up all our stuff, check it out, support the cause.
Yeah, man, for sure. And he does worldwide shipping for those wondering.
Yes.
Even though he's based out in Canada. For those who aren't aware, obviously me and Lee are not sitting side by side, which is something, you know, we do prefer on podcasts, but, you know, we're still trying to deliver some quality podcasts out to you guys with some awesome guests. So Lee's obviously based out in Canada. We're here in Phoenix, Arizona. So let's get into it. First question I have is, you said you've been into the scene for a while, so we'll get into your history though, but as far as the company, how long and when did that officially start?
The company has been going now for almost 11 months, I guess, to the day. We're just coming awesome. Up to 1 year mark here in July.
Very cool. Yeah, that's the first year, man. I mean, like everyone says, it is true. That is like the defining point of like, hey, should I continue doing this or not? So have you ran into any struggles like that? Like to be honest with you, I'm 100% honest on this podcast, dude. And the first year when I was going through the clothing thing was tremendously like the hardest. So I don't know. Did you run struggles yet? Or is it pretty?
Every day is a struggle, man. Like I'm a completely one man operation. I'm pretty sure you are too. So like, I mean,
yeah.
You understand, like I do all the designing, I'll do all the web stuff. I do, you know, all the shipping, basically I'm doing the job of four or five people and,
right.
You know, putting in like 18 hour days. Sometimes you're falling asleep at the computer and just, it's a struggle, man. And like some days, you know, you make awesome sales and stuff and you're like, yeah, you got high hopes. And then the next week comes by and nothing's going. And it's like, oh man, is this going to work out or what? And it's just,
right.
that first year is like, it'll make a man out of you.
For sure, man. Dude, I just resonated with everything you just said. That's why I'm stoked to have you on this right now. Guys who are listening right now, like if you're trying to start anything, it doesn't matter if it's in the apparel game or not. If you're trying to build anything from your life, just understand that everyone that goes through those struggles in the beginning is definitely the hardest. You just got to keep pushing through that, you know? So I'm pretty sure, Lee, that you can resonate with the fact of there are those days, because I feel you on that. There's some days where I'm like, dude, I'm killing it right now. It's killing it this week. And the next week, it's just tumbleweeds and, you know, crickets.
Yeah.
You know? And then that, as long as you keep pushing through it and you just stay with it, it slowly picks up. It's like a snowball, man. So, definitely.
Yeah, it's all about the grind and the work you put in, really, and just, like, it's staying persistent. I mean, a lot of people, they get that misconception, like, yeah, I'm going to start a business or I'm going to start a company. I'm going to make all this money and all that. Like, if you're expecting to make a fucking dollar in the first year, maybe 2 years, you're don't even start,
right?
Because you ain't making shit.
No. And a lot of people get the misunderstanding too. Like, you know, no offense to any other like buddies of mine or whatnot, or, you know, or anyone else out there. But, you know, when you do hear someone that wants to start their own company, they're thinking that you're just going to roll in all this fucking money and you're just going to make it rich. But to be honest with you, even still to this day, everything that Rebel Reaper makes, it literally goes back into the company to produce better quality and more products. You know, it's not like you're coming out here and then you're buying yachts and fucking Ferraris and shit, you know, traveling the world. Not how it works.
Yeah, it's not how it works at all. I mean, like, everything you make goes right back into it. Like, you're not, that's not going to stop until you're well enough established to actually start paying yourself. But, you know, the first couple of years, everything you bring in goes right back into making stuff better or making more quantity or, you know, advertising more, or bringing on sponsored riders or whatever. You know, there's just so many costs that people don't think about.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a lot. It takes a lot before things start really happening the way people think it does in their head.
Yeah, definitely. So it's all about just keep pushing through. So definitely respect that, man. So what made you, I mean, you obviously, let's get in a little bit of your background before we hop back into the company thing. So tell us a little bit about your background. You said you did mechanics, you did stunting, you know, we talked on the phone prior to this call, but you were telling me over the phone. So,
yeah, my motorsports history runs deep. Like, I come from a motorsports family. Like, my parents raced, and like tons of our family members were racers of some kind. And I've been riding since I think I was like 2 years old, something like that. And yeah, it's been a long thing, but I started off racing snowmobiles and racing motocross as a kid. And eventually both of those things turned into a real job for me, and I turned pro. I actually started off, I was a professional racer, like at a very young age. I was only like 14, and was killing it doing that. And all of a sudden, that was kind of when freestyle motocross and the freestyle snowmobiling thing first kind of got born. And I grew up watching, you know, the Krusty videos and SMP Disturbing the Peace and LBZ Chrome and all that stuff. And all I wanted to do is like be like those guys and do tricks. So when freestyle came around, I was like, fuck yes, let's do this. And
LBZ I was watching that too.
Yeah, I actually just found I have a pair of LBZ pants sitting in my fucking closet.
Oh, no way.
I found them last night. Was like, no way, this is awesome. But anyways, nice. Yeah. So I, like, as a kid growing up racing and stuff, like, it was pretty strict. Like, I always learned how to do tricks and stuff. Like, when no one was watching, I'd go and like hit the biggest jump on the track and like learn heel clickers and can cans, like the original OG tricks and stuff. And then when freestyle came around, I already had a little bit of a base. And then I actually got a break and for the freestyle snowmobiling thing. It was just starting, and there was like the very first official tour was about to happen, and I caught a break, and someone was like, hey, I think you can maybe make it on this thing. And I gave up all my pro racing contracts, started right at the bottom again, and showed up at that first event and all with all my idols that I looked up to, and like did really well. And then all of a sudden it was just a snowball effect from there on out. For like 12 years I was a pro freestyle motocross and freestyle snowmobile rider touring the world and just doing retarded shit.
Wow, hey, respect, dude. That is awesome, man. How does that feel when you're sitting side by side from someone that you've actually looked up to growing up,
dude? How'd
that feel?
And I showed up to, like, I'm supposed to be one of the guys, like, I'm the competition, and I was walking around the locker room getting everybody's autograph.
Oh, really? Yeah. Dude, I probably do the same thing, like, no joke.
Because I was only like 15 years old, so I was just starstruck meeting some of these guys out on the course and stuff. Was just like, wow. And I'm just was mind blown and shit. Like, I was just not even thinking about the competition. And then it's like, I went on the road and did what I did. And then all of a sudden, like, I got all these guys respect. And it was like, then it was just a different life from there on out.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So, what was your first bike? Like, would you ever like get into it where you were like, this is what I love?
I mean, like, I always had I grew up riding a 50. I had the hell was it, like a 1984 Honda Z50.
Okay.
When I was a little kid, but the first bike that like I really like started doing stuff with was a CR60. When those things, and if anyone's familiar with those CR60s, like, they were rocket ships back in the day. Those things were so fast and dangerous.
They're so fun.
And I was just ripping that thing up, and then I started racing motocross. I think the following year, and like I started on like beater bikes, like terrible old fucking pieces of shit. And I ended up just because, like, our family didn't have a lot of money and stuff, and they weren't right. They didn't know how serious I was going to take this thing and whatever. And then I, you know, went out on this, like, I had the only old bike on the line in the 80cc 7 to 12 class and went out and just murdered everybody.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's really true that it's really not the bike. Although, yeah, I'm sure, like, size of bike and motor matters, but it definitely is the person who's actually riding it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like any instrument. You hand anyone a guitar and, like, obviously fucking Slash is going to tear your ass up. Compared to saying to some random dude, like, if there's a guitar competition, come on, man. Like, mad respect for that, though. You know, you don't need the flashiest bike out there to still kick some ass. So that's cool.
Yeah, I didn't have it at the beginning. Like, I had it in my brain from a very young age. Like, this, I'm going to be a pro motocross racer one day. And that was it. So it was just, like, I treated every day like that. And then, of course, I went on this old bike, and I just, like, killed it. And then, like, the next weekend I showed up to the race, or was about to go, like, pack up to go to the race. And then my parents were like, we got a surprise for you. And there's a brand new bike sitting in the garage. And I was like, all right, this is game on now.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I'm pretty sure my dad would have flipped his shit. Granted the fact that he got me a super expensive bike and I was out there ripping it up, tearing it apart. I would have done the same thing for sure until I proved, you know, to be able to get a newer bike. So that's cool, man. Awesome. So that's, how was that with your, family, like, you know, obviously they're super supportive with that story, but were they freaking out at first when you started, like, getting into riding, doing all the professional stuff?
I mean, they were always cool with it. Like, you know, moms are gonna freak out when you get hurt and shit. And
my mom
still this day still tells people the story of, like, the time I broke both my arms and she had to wipe my ass when I was, like, 13 years old. Like, you know, stuff like that. Like, my mom's a fucking gem. She's put up with a lot of stuff over the years from me and stuff. But I mean, like, nowadays, even nowadays, like, she'll see me get hurt and stuff. She doesn't like it, but, you know, they know it's part of the territory. There's no safe motorsport out there. So.
Oh yeah. Dude. And there's plenty of people getting in accidents, you know, for people not paying attention on the road, just driving normally. You know what I mean? So it's either you're going to get taken out on the racetrack or you're going to get taken out on the street at some point.
Eventually. Yeah, exactly.
Someone not so
yeah, if you're messing around with stuff like that, there's no way around it. It's not a matter of if you're gonna get hurt, it's a matter of when. So I mean, they always understood that, and they were always cool with that. The only hard transition, I guess, was when I turned into a freestyle guy, because, like, in the very beginning days of freestyle, it was very shunned against, like, through the industry and, like, through the old, like, it was like basically like a little girl telling her dad she's gonna go be a stripper, like.
Dad freaking out.
It was the equivalent of that. But I mean, then all of a sudden, like, it changed because they saw, like, well, I treat it as a very professional thing and there was money behind it. And it wasn't like the party scene that everybody expects it is. Well, it was, but I mean, I kept out of that shit. I was there to win. And so I kept my head on straight and did it right.
Yeah. Just focused on the eyes on the prize. That's what's up, man. Very cool. So moving into the next question here that I got. Have you ever been to the U.S.? I mean, I'm sure you visited. Like, you ever lived out here, or were you born and raised out in Canada?
I was born and raised here. During my career riding, I lived down there kind of off and on, like halfway, about half the year I'd lived down there in Salt Lake City for a little while.
Okay.
And just because that was like a central base location that I could pretty much ride both things all year and kind of travel to a lot of the events and stuff, because there was kind of most of it, like 80% would be in North America and the other 20% was overseas. So it was kind of like the best home base to be at.
Nice. What's the like craziest place you've been to for a race?
Well, we did a freestyle show in Moscow, Russia, right in the Red Square, like in front of the Kremlin in like 2005. And that shit was pretty crazy because that was like...
Nice.
That was one of the first things to ever, like, really happen there ever since, like, the old Cold War marches and stuff. Like, it was very closed off for a long time. And then Red Bull put on this huge thing and kind of ushered in that whole event. And just, I don't know, it was crazy being there. That's for sure. That whole trip has, like, that's like a whole podcast in itself.
Yeah, for sure. No, we'll definitely have to touch base on that for sure. So we've actually been following each other on the Instagram for a little bit now, enough where I've gotten to a vibe and a feel for your clothing, which I totally actually vibe with for sure. It's super clean, super crisp. Like, you got the videos that you got going on. I think I saw your shipping video, just all the angles and styles that you did. Like, I know you take the time, which is what I want to get to and the point of me saying this, you take the time to make sure that you put out solid pictures and videography and products, which is huge. So is that without you even having to say it, you know, it's just someone from like me can see it on a third party. Just, okay, this guy's definitely put in the work. I got to talk to him and get him on a podcast. So, you know, have you always been like that? Have you been so detailed and precise on the things that you post and say? So,
oh, I'm just in anything I do. I just like, I'm one of those people that like, I'm most competitive with myself. So like everything has to be the best or nothing.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. So it's just all about putting in that extra effort and stuff. So even when it comes down to just like a simple photo post, like, you know, most people don't think of the time it takes to do that. Like, you know, just going out and I'm going to go shoot a quick picture on my phone. Like, no, fuck that. I'm going to go take my DSLR out, set up an angle, take cool shots, then go back to Lightroom, edit them for a few hours, pick one that's good, and then fucking put that one. Like, it's like a 3-hour process to post one photo sometimes. Oh,
God. Yeah, dude, I totally agree with that. This actually reminds me of, I think it was maybe a month or so ago, right before it started getting super hot here in Arizona, like midday. I'm getting low on pictures to post, you know, because I post so frequently. I'm like, fuck, man, I'm getting low on pictures. I said, you know what? I just grabbed my camera, headed out to the desert in the middle of nowhere, hiking trail, you know, so there's people walking by, hiking, getting pictures. And I'm like, yeah, you guys can go that way because I got these pictures to take right now. You know, I'm setting up the t-shirt, specific angles of the rocks where you can actually on the t-shirt. Like, it's a lot of effort and energy that goes into it. I think I hiked at least 5 miles deep before I got into like a solid area for some good quality pictures. So,
yeah,
it is a lot. For sure.
It's a lot of work. Like, people listening, like, when you see like a good photo, a good product shot, or just a good photo in general on Instagram, like, it doesn't just happen by accident. Like,
I think that 5 mile walk that I did for that mini photo shoot that I did just on the camera, I probably only used 3 pictures out of maybe.
Yeah, there's days I'll go out and shoot like 700 photos and only pick 5.
Right, exactly. Like, so for those listening right now, we actually, you know, it is a big thing, you know, because you see a lot of pictures on there and you can obviously tell that we're taking on like a potato camera on your phone, you know, and in my opinion, what I've noticed Instagram and marketing getting into is a lot of people look for solid quality content, you know, as far as wanting to follow that page or check them out. So I can definitely see without telling you that you know that already. But for those brands that are listening, like, if you want to definitely be perceived as a higher quality product, definitely take the time, like Lee and I were saying, you know, you do take several pictures, but pick the ones that you know for sure are going to be good, solid quality content. You know, just don't throw something up just because. So,
yeah, I mean, like, there's times when you're going to have to do that. There's times I do that where I'm like running low and it's just like, yeah, I'm going to just blast something out here just to post something. But I mean, like, relevant. A lot of the time, like, you gotta put in that extra effort, because we're living in a time where there's a lot of other people putting in that extra effort, so it's not acceptable to be half-assing it anymore.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree. There's actually pictures, and I was looking and browsing old pictures, like, from when this started, I think back in like 2016 or something like that. But I was looking at the pictures I was posting, dude, and I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? But At the end of the day, it's, you know, when you're so new and getting into it, you have no idea what to post or what to say. But I kept those up there as a reminder to myself, like, where we've been and where we've gotten. So it's like, okay, now I know where we're at. We can never go back to what that was.
Yeah.
But kept it up there just as a reminder, you know what I mean? So
yeah, I have that, like, with my YouTube channel and stuff. Like, my very first probably 10 videos are so bad, like, I can't even, like, my first I can't even watch anymore. It's just like, it's painful as fuck to me to watch them. But then, like, go from like the first one to the last one, and it's like, holy shit, like, this guy, he learned some shit.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, let's get into YouTube. So I personally have tried YouTube, man. Our YouTube channel sucks. I don't think I posted anything that was kind of cool, I guess you could say, or consistent. I focused on the podcast, you know, so there's a lot of energy and time that goes into making a YouTube channel. So when did that start? And tell us a little bit more about it. Like, what do you post on there?
My YouTube channel is more of a, it's a personal thing, I guess. It's not as much brand related. I do a little bit of brand stuff on there since I started it, but, it mainly started as a way, for me to get my Harley stunt stuff out there, because, I ended up doing the Harley stunt thing. Like, I was one of the, probably the first like 5 to 10 people that were doing it. And, I wanted to kind of get in on it while it was getting started. So I like wanted to get some sponsors going or whatever. So I knew I had to get some content out there, and I made like my first video was like this super killer stunt video. It was really, really good, but it took a whole fucking summer to make this thing of filming and then like learn how to edit and all that. And then, I kind of heard about the whole moto vlogging thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, cool, maybe I'll try that. And because I was like, I was looking around at everybody else that was doing it, and I was like, oh yeah, they got like, you know, some of their videos are funny, but none of these people can ride for shit. So I got something else to bring to the table. So I kind of started that, and that ended up picking up pretty quick once people got a hold of it. And it kind of is like, it's a mix, I guess, of like the moto vlogging. And I eventually kind of shied away from that. I created kind of a style all my own where it's a mix of like cinematic stuff, vlogging, moto vlogging,
right.
Kind of rolled into one and kind of just created my own little thing. And yeah, that's kind of what it's at. So like some days I'll go out and ride, do some awesome stuff. Some days I'll film like a shop video working on bikes, because like I said, I'm a mechanic, so I got some stuff to offer there. And sometimes I build some cool shit. And yeah, it's just kind of a mishmash of whatever I feel like making, really.
Dude, all right. So Lee, this is going to sound trippy right now, but I remember looking, because I'm looking at your YouTube channel right now, by the way. You got 32,000 fucking subscribers. Holy shit, it is pretty big. this is trippy right now, because I remember seeing the Let's Look at My Dyna video.
So oh, yeah.
Red Dyna. I remember that. And then also looking at a Harley Davidson Dyna. So that's you jumping to your Dyna.
Yeah.
I remember looking at those two videos. I think this was at least a year or so ago, where I was browsing through, and then those popped up on the feed, because I always watch YouTube channels and stuff like that. But that's so crazy, man. It shows me. I was on my phone right now. It shows when I watched them. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Trippy, man. Wow. So I did watch you, man. This is some weird shit right now. Yeah. Wow. Cool, man.
Yeah, man. It's that's kind of what
I'd be talking to the dude a year later.
Yeah, super weird. That's kind of like how I guess the whole brand got started too, was built off of that. And you know, because I was, I guess if we're going to talk about how the brand got started, I know we were going to lead into that, we can just go here. It kind of got started off of that, just because I ended up like getting what I kind of wanted by starting. I picked up a couple sponsors and so on, and things were going okay, but I ended up picking up the wrong sponsors. I guess there's other people who won't be named of companies that were just like, they're in the scene just to line their fucking pockets and, you know, dude, flex their shit on Instagram. And that's, I'm sure you can figure out who I'm talking about. So I picked up a couple of those, and, you know, it ended off bad, like real bad. It was a whole thing. They were trying to pull some shady shit on me that I caught onto. And I was like, you know, fuck you guys. I'm going to start my own thing and go from there. And, because, I mean, like, I've been in this industry a long time and doing this stuff, and I've, like, seen the goods and bads of, like, how companies can treat their riders and stuff like that. And I was just like, you know what? I want to start my own thing, and I want to, like, I want to build something that actually supports riders in a real way. Like, if I bring on a sponsored rider, they're getting a paycheck. They're getting whatever support they can get to do what they need to do. And that's really, like, what it takes for pro riders, especially these days, to be able to do anything. So I wanted to start a company that would do stuff like that for people and, you know, support things like local racetracks and so on, just to help build the scene and grow it for the future. And that was, like, my biggest goal in starting this thing.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Respect to that. I actually totally relate to that. There was a buddy of mine, when we first started, he was doing all the wheelies and the burnouts and shit. And it got to a point where I was like, dude, you don't got to do all this fucking crazy shit and putting all this wear and tear on your bike, because these people don't understand. The people that are out here stunting and doing all this stuff, no one's really paying them to really do it. And it's like out of their pocket of their own tires and free will and energy, and they're risking their thousands of dollar bike doing all this shit. So I understood that with my buddy when we first started, and he was doing these crazy burnouts, and I was like, bro, let me just buy you a couple, you know? And he's like, what? I was like, Yeah, man. Like, if you're doing all this really rad shit that we're posting pictures up on the page, at least let me, like, help you out with what I can, you know what I mean? And help support you doing what you want to do. I'm not just going to take what I can get from you and then post it up on the page, you know what I mean?
So, yeah. And that's kind of how what's up. Huh? And that's exactly what's up. And that's what more companies these days need to be doing. Like, they're just, a lot of these people, especially with the social media age, they're just using writers for, as a content tool. And that's it. They're throwing them some free shirts and hats and calling it a fucking day. And like, give me all your pictures and your videos so I can use them and make more money. And like, to me, that's total bullshit. Like, to some of the companies that I was doing this with just before I started mine, like, I burnt through, just to make one video, I spent $4,000 to make one video. I made a video of me drifting on ice with a Harley. I was the first person to do the Harley ice thing. And and that video was awesome and kind of, like, blew up and, you know, brought other people into it. And other people obviously started doing it over the next couple of years. And then, like, that summer after that, I burnt through probably $20,000 just breaking my Dyna over and over and over again. And then when I...
Yeah.
And then when I reached out to these people that are supposedly sponsoring me to kind of get some help, because I'm like, look, man, like, I can't continue this shit. It's like, I'm fucking going bankrupt here. Like, I'm promoting you guys. I know I'm making you money. Like, maybe, you know, throw me a couple parts, do something, like, just to help me out to keep this going. And that was just like, oh, you're asking for too much now. And I'm like, are you shitting me? Like,
what? Yeah, dude. I honestly, if I was in that position and I was that big of a company, like, there's a lot of things that, you know, I said we're not going to be talking about us here, but, you know, there's a lot more plans that I have for the future as far as giving back to the community as much as possible, you know. But when I see shit like that happening where it's like, bro, like, to be real, you guys wouldn't be shit if it wasn't the people that were out here sporting and supporting your product and being influencers towards your product, because word of mouth is everything these days.
Yes.
I'm sure you know that.
Oh, but it's huge.
It used to be word of mouth back in the day used to be big. But it transitioned into a point for the last few decades where these big brand name companies, you know, no one really had a voice. And then social media came along, you know, and now when you get word of mouth, all you have to do is throw in a post. And I don't know, fucking John, who has 50 followers or 500,000 followers, can post something up. And either those 50 or 500,000 people are going to say, wow, this company does suck.
Yeah,
this company does treat people like shit. Like, people don't understand that, you know what I mean? So you definitely got to take care of your customers and your people and your riders, for sure.
Oh, 100%. Like, with the social media age, word travels so fast. You fuck over one person and, like, all of a sudden thousands of people can know about it, and then, like,
oh yeah,
you look terrible. And I mean, exactly. Like, yeah, that's the biggest thing that, like, I know of now and stuff. And I know I want to build my company a different way than everybody else. Like, for example, one of my biggest goals, like I said, was I wanted to, like, sponsor riders, like, a real way and pay them. Like, I don't just sponsor anybody. Like, I'm very picky when it comes to that. Like, they gotta be solid work ethic people. And like, my
same here.
Yeah. Like, my main rider, Mike Poirier, like, he is literally, I call him the hardest working guy in freestyle, and I'll stand by that statement 100%. He's unreal. Like, he's got two kids, he's got his own job, like, he's got his own company doing construction stuff, and like, still he's got the time to do all that practice. And like, this year he worked hard enough to make it to Winter X Games. And like, for a guy that has all this other stuff in his life going on, that is incredible, because guys spend literally their whole year doing nothing but ride just to make that happen, and he's doing 10 million other things. Riding's the last thing on his mind. He made it happen. Like, unreal.
Dude, that's awesome.
So, I mean, like, one of my goals, obviously, like I said, was to sponsor riders in a real way and pay them. And like, when he told me, like, I got the invite, like, it's happening. I was on the brink of being able to give myself my very first paycheck to this company. And I was like, he told me that, I fucking gave the whole thing to him. Like, here you go. You fucking earn this.
Dude. And
that's literally like the type of shit that this company is built upon.
Yeah. Definitely, man. And the thing is, it's not just that you're doing it to, like, get something back. It's just who you are. And I could tell over the, like, phone right now that's just the type of person that you are. And it definitely resonates with the brand as well, you know? So if I could pick that up over this, just a phone call and a podcast, I'm pretty sure a hell of a lot more people can pick it up through your social media and how you handle yourself, you know, on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think
you can't really, like, you can't fake that shit, dude. Like, it's just who you are.
Yeah, and I think it's awesome. Just because of all the years I spent as a pro, and I know how hard it can be, and like, how many fucking shady dicks there are out there in that world and stuff like that. And just like, I know exactly how hard these guys work and what it takes to get where they are and stuff. So I have so much respect and appreciation for the guys that do make it there and work that hard and stuff that I'll fucking do whatever it takes to help them out if they're the type of person that belongs on this team.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm really, really, like when you said that, really particular on who I have on the team, you know, and who as far as we sponsor and throw out some, you know, clothes to help out and whatever we can. But I, you know, I'm pretty sure you do too, but we get messages all the time, people saying, hey, sponsor me, hey, sponsor me, hey, sponsor me. But at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, I could hand out all these products to people and get cool pictures, but it's like who you are as a person, you know, are you really into this lifestyle? Are you really the type of person that goes out here and enjoys doing this kind of stuff? Or are you just the person that just wants free shit and look cool so you can tell everyone, hey, this company threw some clothes my way, you know? So I've had a couple riders come and go, but at the end of the day, we're still friends, you know, and it's just a respect thing. So seeing you actually do that for people, that's rad.
And I mean, like, I like, of course, talking like I just have for the last like 10 minutes, it feels like people are like gonna open up and be like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking talk to this guy about getting sponsored. I'll tell you right now, I'm gonna tell you no. Just because I do get that every day. People are, you know, sponsor me this, sponsor me that, and I'll just ask them like, why should I sponsor you? Tell me why, who you are as a person, why you think you deserve support from me. And then all of a sudden it's like you see the message red thing.
Dude, it's not to be like a cocky dick for those listening. You know, if you've ever done that to someone, don't feel bad. Everyone does it. But it's not to be a cocky dick, but at the end of the day, it costs money to produce product, you know? Yeah. So if you're just sending something out to someone, you're out whatever X amount of money from the company that could have went towards a person who would appreciate it more for one, and then someone who would actually, you know, buy the product and want to support it, you know? So don't be that person that goes through DMs and messages companies over and over and over again. Hey, sponsor me. Hey, sponsor me. Let me tell you a story. My buddy, Matt, he's still a good friend of mine. He's out there in California. I had no idea who he was, right? I this was before, and he was just like a customer. I send out an order, you know, to him. A week later, I get all these professional pictures taken from him and his buddy. They went out of their way, and he's pulling all these stunts and burnouts and wheelies and stuff like that. And he's like, hey, dude. He's like, I'm not asking for anything. I just wanted to send you these pictures. Because I really vibe with what you're putting out there and I just want to show my support, you know, use them however you want. And I'm like, what? Like, that's a 180, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know this guy personally. He went out of his way, did all this stuff, edited the pictures and sent them to me. At that point, I was like, dude, what's your address? Let me send you a fucking care package. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I sent him a bunch of just really new, brand new shit that just came out. You know, and we developed a friendship that way. It was just a mutual respect. That's for those listening. That's how you ask for anything.
Yeah.
For anything and just do it because that's the kind of person you are. So I just wanted to share that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. That's exactly the way to go about things. Like those are the type of people that will get somewhere is the people that
for sure
go out of their way to kind of like, you know, prove that A, they have some value and B, that they like really stand behind what you're doing. Because like if they're willing to do that for nothing, then obviously they have enough belief in you and the brand and so on that you'd feel comfortable giving them fucking money or giving them whatever because you know they're going to do the right things with it.
Exactly. Exactly, dude. So, all right, man. Very cool. I like where this is going. So when you grew up, you know, was there any kind of let's see. First of all, how old are you? Are you like 30s or?
I'm going to be 32 in August.
Dude, all right, cool. So I'll be 30 in November. So we're around the same age. We probably grew up around the same time and era of brands. So it'd be relevant. Was there any kind of brands that you actually like, you know, outside of the motorcycle scene or maybe even inside the motorcycle scene of companies that you grew up as a kid that you supported and, you know, kind of helped as far as influence, as far as your style, you know, and stuff like that?
I guess so. Like, I mean, there's a lot of it would come, I guess, from outside of the motorcycle scene. One of my best friend, he owns the most popular skate shop around here, and I was actually like his first employee and stuff. Well, I guess like, I've never really had a real job, but I mean, like, I used to just hang out there to, you know, hang out in the skate shop all day in the off season for fun and, you know, do things right. Like you do. But being around that all the time, and I still like, I'm there multiple times a week and shit, so like I see all the new stuff coming out from like skate brands and snow brands and stuff like that. He has a lot of moto stuff there too, so I kind of get like a mix of everything. And yeah, so like a lot of it comes from skate, and then a lot of it comes from a mix of that to kind of the more traditional racer type of vibe. I kind of try to mix those two things together. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm pulling it off or not, but that's kind of my deal.
No, definitely. No, because there's a ride shop in the U.S. It's called Industrial Ride Shop.
Yeah.
I used to hang out there all the time as a kid, and I'd go to like Hat Club and stuff like that. So there's a lot of like, I don't know necessarily particularly brands, but definitely that style is kind of influenced. Because I honestly, I don't really think I even paid attention to the motorcycle scene growing up as a kid as much as I do now, you know, as far as apparel. So I can't really say too much, you know, as far as with that, but I guess that makes sense. What was the name of the shop? Just give me a quick shout out.
204 Skate Shop.
Nice. So if you're in Canada, go say what's up.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Are you, do you ever go to any shows like out here in the US, like for example, Born Free that's coming up at all, or?
Not really. No. I kind of stay away from a lot of that stuff, I guess, to be honest with you. Yeah. It's not really my deal. Like to maybe hit up some of that stuff one day, but I mean, like, if I'm going out to do anything motorcycle related, I'm going out to ride. And like when I ride, I'm not just going out and cruising and stuff like that. Like the last thing I'm going to go do is just like a regular cruise on my motorcycle. I think that's the most boring shit in the world. If I'm going out, I want to go out and stunt. I want to go and do like rad shit and break stuff and things like that. So like if I get around like bike shows and stuff, I last maybe 5 minutes and all of a sudden I'm going stir crazy. Like I'm like, I want to go into destruction mode and start breaking bikes.
Dude. I am 100% with you on that. No offense towards shows or anything, but we get asked all the time, people, hey, you know, and I respect it. Like, I appreciate everyone that offers. But for me personally, I'm not the type of person to just sit in a booth for fucking 8 to 10 hours while there's bats that are my buddies doing burnouts and wheelies and shit 30 feet away from me. Like, I want to go out there and enjoy the show and actually be a part of whatever's going on. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's kind of weird. You know, shows are kind of weird for me too.
Oh, they get extra because I've tried before, and like, there's always like stuff like that, like stunt shows going on or freestyle shows or whatever at those things. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what people know me for, is that type of stuff. So like, it gets extra annoying if I'm sitting in a booth and then like every single person there that comes to the booth comes up and asks, "Hey, why aren't you out there?" And I'm like, "Cause I'm sitting in a fucking booth."
yeah, I gotta make sure no one takes all this shit. Oh, dude, I feel you on that. Yeah, there was a point, I think in the last show we did, Simi Valley Harley Davidson invited us out there as a vendor, which was super fun. But ask anyone there that showed up to the booth, they were like, "Where's the Rebel Reaper guy?" I was actually out there recording, you know what I mean? Like being part of the show of what was going on. I consider that's fun. I was probably at the booth maybe like 10 or 15% of the time. So.
Yeah.
I'm like, please. Okay. All my stuff is still there. Thank God.
Yeah. I know I'm going to have to get over that one day. Like as the brand grows, I'm going to have to fucking suck up my ego or pride or whatever it is that makes me hate that stuff and just like deal with it, go and do that stuff. But I know like as of right now, while I'm still in like prime time riding shape, it can't be done.
Right. Dude, you got to focus on the branding, especially, you know, the difference I see with you compared to other brands, you know what I mean? It's the story of why people want to put on the clothing. You know what I mean? So yours obviously has a lot of history behind it. As a person that has personally been out there since a kid up to this day, still riding and still living that. It's definitely something that people look at. And what I feel, you know, not to step on any toes, I'm probably going into a touchy subject with apparel, but I feel like a lot of people don't understand, you know, how you grew your huge YouTube channel. Like, it's your personality, you know, it's the type of person that you are. It's how you handle yourself and things that people vibe with. Cause you yourself, Lee, are the brand pretty much of 38, and also Lee Stewart, you know, the YouTube channel. So,
yeah, 100%.
People don't pay attention to that. You know what I mean? The branding is who you are, and that's why people support, not just a fucking t-shirt on it with a logo on it, you know? So
yeah, exactly. Like, anybody can do that. Like, you can go to local print shop with a few $100 and start a clothing company right now. But I mean, like, there's a lot more to it that are going to make people want to support it. And
for sure.
And yeah, like you said, it's the people behind it and the message behind it and so on. And it sucks right now, because it's like right now it's so busy that I'm, you know, I'm working so fucking hard every day that I don't have a chance to ride anymore or do videos really anymore. I've had to take a break for the last probably 5 months of doing that stuff, and it sucks, and I'm catching a lot of shit for that. But
yeah, same here.
But it's going to pay off eventually, and then all of a sudden the videos and the riding are going to come back 10 times harder than they were, because I'm going to be able to, you know, do more stuff and afford to do better things, and, you know, not really have to worry about, if I break my bike today, I'm not going to be able to make the next 10 videos kind of thing.
Right. Dude, that's exactly where I'm at right now. I got two fucking Sportsters and a rat rod, and these two Sportsters are down right now. And they broke down, I would say, about 2 months ago. One of the Paul Springs is out, and it won't shift from gear to gear. So I got to get in there and dive into it. But the other one is just completely tore up that I'm fixing. But it's like, it sucks, man, because it's like, dude, you got so many orders, and business comes first, you know, then fun comes second.
Yeah, and that's what I try to tell my YouTube viewers, because, like, they'll I get comments on my Instagram, my YouTube, every other social media every day of people like, hey man, why aren't you making videos? Like, it's fucking bullshit. And like, people are like genuinely pissed off about it. And I'm just like,
look, right.
Like, there's people that are giving me money for something that I have to deliver on. I have, like, I'm giving you YouTube videos for free. So fucking don't like shut up about it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, now that we have topic on that, it's like your customers and people who are paying you for a product, let's just keep it real, dude. They don't give a fuck what you're doing. They don't care if you broke your leg, you know, riding off on something. They still want their products. And I know you understand that. You still have to deliver and get out that product regardless of what. So,
yeah, there's no way around that. If they give you money for something, they expect it. And if, like, you say, like, I'll ship that 3 days from now so I can go make a video, they're going to be pissed about it. And they're not going to buy something from you ever again. And
no, for sure.
That's the way. Yeah. Like, I mean, the true supporters of the brand, though, that I've found, like, the true supporters of the channel and everything that I'm doing with the brand and my riding and so on, they 100% understand it, and they're totally behind it. They're like, yeah, make videos and stuff when you can. Keep turning out the rad shit. I get messages like that all the time, and those are the real people that are like, fuck yeah, I want a high five. Oh, but
dude, I can't stress enough, like, I'm so glad you're on this podcast, because I know there's other brands and there's other people that are listening out there that, if they're even thinking about starting something, do it organically. You know, the reason what I mean by organically is, just like Lee said, solid relationship, I guess you could say, with your customers, where they understand, like, especially, you know, if you're super busy and you're super swamped with a launch or something, and your customers understand that you're super busy, they'll be okay with the fact that it'll take a couple extra days to ship out their product, because they know that you're super busy, you know. And that's the whole point about doing it organically and making sure that you take care of your customers, is when you build that relationship with them, they totally get it and they totally understand. They're fully supportive.
And like, so I've built my thing as like, any order that comes in through the company, no matter how crazy it gets, like if I do a launch or whatever, every order that comes through here is shipped out in 24 hours or less. That's like my biggest thing. And
yeah,
like, dude, trying to keep up with that sometimes is a fucking nightmare.
I feel you. Hey, all right. So let me do this for an example. I was out in California for, I think it was 3 weeks ago, for a whole week. The fuck out, Lee. Like, seriously, I'm getting orders in like all the time. I'm like, I'm looking at my phone, it's blowing up. I'm like, dude, how the hell am I gonna go back home after a week? And then I just saw all these orders. I was so stressed out. But at the end of the day, I just sit back, took a breather, and was like, we still got to get these out. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, no one should put four out, dude.
Yeah, it's super stressful, but it got done.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I mean,
it happened.
That's the way you got to run shit. And that's the way, those are the type of people that will succeed in it, is the type of people that put in that extra effort. And that's something I'll never forget when it comes to running this.
Yeah, dude. And when you first start out this, like a lot of that stuff you pick up not naturally from the beginning, but that stuff, like if you got a complaining customer, hey, where's my shipment? You know, instead of people getting upset about that, like the way I was handled as a customer, this is why I don't shop with certain brands, because of the way they handle it, is they basically treat you like, hold your fucking horses, you know, like, no, I paid for this. You have to give me the products. And the way you respond is everything too. So,
yeah. And I mean, even there's other ones I know of personally that I've written for and shit that like, it says right on their thing, like your order will be processed in 3 to 5 days. Like what the fuck are you doing for 3 to 5 days? That's not acceptable.
Yeah. Seriously. Why does it take that fucking long? Like yeah. This latest launch of the button ups that we just did, I had my computer to my right up. I had all the t-shirts set up and organized. And as they were coming in, I was throwing them in bags and bagging them all up, making sure they're all perfect, just stacking them up. And because I know that these people wanted them like super quick. Yeah. And that's how detailed and precise you have to be. So I know you get it, but like repeating this for those that are listening, because let's just be honest, like a lot of people don't get it. They think that they could just take their time and sit on their ass and take four fucking days. Send something out. It doesn't work.
Yeah, and like I said, those are the type of people that are just like, they're more interested in flexing their shit on Instagram and only working like a few hours a day and then talking like they're this big time fucking entrepreneur because they listen to too much fucking Gary Vaynerchuk. And
yep,
like dude, it's just
they have like, entrepreneur in their bio or some shit, and they're just, you
know. Yeah, anyone that has entrepreneur in their bio, like just
like you run for the hills. You do not yeah. get advice from them at all.
I know, dude. Like it's unreal. There's so many of those popping up these days, thanks to like Gary and Andy Frisella and stuff like that. And like yeah. those are guys that like they did it right. They fucking made it, obviously. Like they know what they're talking about. But they created a whole generation of fucking idiots that just think like, yeah, I'm this guy now, and like they're not even close. They're not working half as hard. As they are.
Like I listen to a lot of influencers, and I personally read a lot of books. You know, that's just kind of my style of how I've learned a lot of these things. But you know, I listen to those guys and I take the notes from all the things that I learn and read. But the difference is you actually have to put them into fucking action. You know, yeah. you have to go out there and live it and do it, not just say it and then put it in your bio and think just because you read a fucking book that you're an expert on some topic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, it's just all about work ethic, man. Like, that's all it is. I look at some of that stuff, too, and, like, I take it with a grain of salt. Like, obviously, there's going to be some points in there that are helpful and stuff, but just, like, I grew up on hard work, and I know what hard work is, and that's exactly the way this thing is going to be run, is just through straight-up hard work.
100%. It's really underestimated how much work that you have to put in to actually make something. You know what I mean? Because, like you were saying earlier, you know, it's so easy just to go up to a print shop for $100, get 20 t-shirts printed or whatever, and then just sell them. But if there's no meaning behind it and there was really no work behind it or story, you know, then it really doesn't mean anything. It's just a regular t-shirt. You know what I mean? So it's just,
yeah, it's just going to be another one of those fly by night brands that lasts a couple months and disappears into the wind. Like a lot of them do.
Right. Right. And so, actually, dude, I want to make this into a two-part podcast. So if you don't mind, what we're going to do is we're going to cut this one off here in about a minute. So then we'll call you back. We'll do another recording, make it a two-part series. You cool with that?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I can go three parts. So we can do this all day.
I know people are going to be super excited about this one, so I really want them to tune in. Thank you guys for listening. You know, Lee, just go ahead and plug in again. Your company, the website, you know, YouTube channel, whatever you want, and we'll go ahead and cut it off.
Yeah, make sure you guys check out 38rideco.com, all spelled out, and 38rideco on Instagram. And we'll be back in part 2 right away.
Cool, man. Call you right back. We'll do it again.
All right.
Thanks.